Hello, everyone, and welcome to Thrifters Villa, a podcast for resellers and entrepreneurs. I'm Daniela.
And I'm Lori. And today we have a very special guest with us. Welcome back, Blake.
Thank you so much, Lori and Daniela. Daniela and Lori. Happy to be here.
So nice
love
to
having you.
So it's great to have you with us again. So Blake was on the podcast before, and I'll definitely make sure I put that in the show notes to that episode that we all chatted together. But we have something fun to talk about today.
Yeah, today we're going to discuss like a recent post that was on Instagram, and Blake actually brought it to our attention. He DM'd Daniela and I and said, this would be a great thing to discuss, which I quickly replied, yes, come discuss it with us, Blake.
Come chat with us, please.
I haven't been able to catch up with Blake in a while, so I was kind of selfish, and this is like a great thing. We get a podcast episode. We get some time with one of my favorite people. I'm so excited.
Yes. So, I know, and we can talk for days, so get ready.
This is so true. This might be three episodes, who knows?
Warning.
We don't know.
Yes. So the quote was in regards to what is considered a real entrepreneur. And there was a guy who, from what I could see, is like, probably should know who this man is. I went to his Instagram, but I mean, he's kind of like a motivational business guy, guru type. My take is that he oversimplified the quote, but you know, basically saying that if you flip things on eBay, you're not an entrepreneur. That was like it in a nutshell. Would you guys agree?
Yeah. I felt like
basically like,
go ahead, Blake.
I was just going to say that was like the Cliff Notes version.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. So I would say he's like Gary V's competitor, maybe like.
We can talk a little bit about that. Yes, let's do that. So maybe we should start by playing the clip and then we can kind of discuss it and talk about what an actual entrepreneur is according to Webster's. Thank you, Daniela. That was a great idea.
My little snippet, my contribution to the podcast. Okay.
And then we'll go from there. So Daniela, you have the clip?
Yes, I do. Give me 1 second. I'm gonna turn my volume up. Make sure you guys can hear it.
You know, it's fine if my kids flip shoes on eBay. If you're an adult, man, you got to get beyond flipping sneakers on eBay. You need to build a business. Otherwise, don't call yourself an entrepreneur. Uh-oh. That's not what an entrepreneur is. An entrepreneur is not flipping shit on eBay. That's not a business. That's you trying to make $2 on a toy that you bought at a garage sale. It's a different gig.
You know, so that was a clip. Could you guys hear it?
You kind of went in and out, Daniela, but I heard some of it. Yeah. I heard the important part about that's $2 on a toy. That was the line that pissed me off a little bit.
Yeah. I agree with you. That definitely annoyed me, but I'm going to leave the link to this in the show notes. You guys can find the post and you guys can go check it out yourselves and just see what we saw. So let's just kind of go with what he said there. So Blake, what were your initial reactions to it?
So I like this ability of myself to like listen to what someone says and be like, I'm not sure that I agree, but like also maybe I do kind of agree. So I think what is important to note here is this man, his name is Grant Cardone. I think he would probably be offended if we compared him to Gary Vee and vice versa. But, you know, for everyone listening, that's probably just easier reference. Mm-hmm. He is not knocking people for having a business. He's not saying you're not a business owner. What he's saying is to be an entrepreneur is to not flip stuff on the internet, which to some degree I can agree with. Mm-hmm. However, I think this might be a good place to define entrepreneur, Daniela.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I will read the definition from Webster Online. So the first part here says, essential meaning of entrepreneur, a person who starts a business and is willing to risk loss in order to make money. Then the full definition of an entrepreneur is one who organizes, manages, and assumes the risk of a business or enterprise.
It's interesting that risk is mentioned in both of those. I don't know that that's, if somebody asked me to, what I thought my definition of entrepreneur is. That, I mean, that makes perfect sense. I don't know if I would have articulated those words. So I'm glad you have that here. And the risk factor is interesting and true and true.
Yeah. When I think of risk and loss, it makes me think of more of like an investor, which I guess is where entrepreneur kind of came from. Maybe when you think back to like the early 2000s, I feel like when people were coming out with this term entrepreneur and using it, it was people that were investing in businesses and, or in stocks and whatnot. And that was all they did, right? It was like that constant risk reward type thing. And as time has gone on, I feel like the definition of entrepreneur has grown, it's changed, it's evolved, right? Lori, do you want to read the characteristics of an entrepreneur? So this is also from Webster's dictionary, and it kind of just talks about the evolution of entrepreneur.
Yeah, I don't think entrepreneur is a new term from the 2000s.
It's a term that kind of up. It's a term that came up a lot more frequently in the early 2000s, and it kind of has taken off since then.
For a quick example too, people have started to change, instead of side hustle now, there's this new term floating around called a multipreneur, like a multipreneur. So like doing multiple things.
And mompreneur has been around for a while. That's been like a catchy one. The characteristics of an entrepreneur, you might well wonder whether entrepreneur simply means a person who starts a business and is willing to risk loss in order to make money, or whether it carries an additional connotation of farsightedness and innovation. The answer, perhaps unsatisfyingly, is that it can go in either direction. Entrepreneur has been in used in English to refer to a kind of businessman since at least the middle of the 18th century, when it appeared in the translation of the King's Prussia's instruction for his generals. If the country happens not to abound in forage, you must agree with some entrepreneur for the quantity required. Mm. That's a direct quote. Yep. During the 19th century, it was also used of a go-between or a person who undertakes any kind of activity as opposed to just a business. By the early 20th century, entrepreneur appears to have taken on the connotation of go-getter when applied to an independent business owner, a quality that may also be found in a phrase, entrepreneurial spirit, which began being used at about the same time. So the early 20th century.
Yeah, so it's definitely evolved. Like entrepreneur, like this in the 18th century, was those who worked with the emperors and the kings, and that they were the people who went out and bought the goods and came back, and that was their job. And it has evolved quite a bit since then. I'd say it's still evolving to this day.
But I think go-getter is definitely something, go-getter and somebody who's innovative in their thinking. So a little bit more beyond just a business person, right? If you're coming up, I associate it with some form of creativity in my own mind.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Mm-hmm. So then, that does not always,
Yeah, I was just going to say, so then when it comes to the eBay comparison, I can see where he thinks that that is not super creative, or that doesn't make you an entrepreneur if that is what you do. I also think that the sentence about like flipping a toy for $2 is like 1,000,000% oversimplified what we do.
Correct.
So I also consider an entrepreneur somebody who's willing to hustle and I guess it means a little bit something different to each of us, but the multipreneur, I enjoy that definition as well, Blake, because I think in terms of how we all talk about multiple streams of income and how it all kind of filters back to being whatever entrepreneur we consider ourselves. So would each of you consider yourselves an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I would. I consider myself an entrepreneur.
Blake?
I would not.
Interesting.
I wouldn't even say I'm a small business owner. I would say I'm in business. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I'm an entrepreneur. But for me, and this will actually tie into something I have a definition for. Ooh. So you were reading from the Webster's Dictionary, correct?
Yep, correct.
So the new Oxford American Dictionary has a slightly different take on this.
Okay.
And their definition is, a person who organizes and operates a business or businesses, taking on greater than normal financial risks in order to do so. And for me, that is more aligned with my vision of what an entrepreneur is, of what I've thought about it. because I hate to compare it to Shark Tank because that's so product specific, but an entrepreneur to me is someone who quits their entire six-figure job and puts all of their money, all of their savings into one thing, hoping that it'll work. And it does or it doesn't. And with reselling, and maybe this is where that guy needed to explain a little bit more, and the oversimplification did happen. Like, reselling, as we all know, and probably the people listening, is one of the businesses where you can absolutely make a profit without taking on any debt, any risk. Correct. So out of the gate, it like technically is not categorically like an entrepreneurship type thing. However, once you start growing your resale business and you start buying pallets, you start buying truckloads, things change and you then do spend thousands of dollars. However, are you putting your entire business at risk to be able to get more inventory? I don't think that's the case. I think you're buying inventory to keep your business going, different than putting all of your eggs in one basket, hoping that turns into something.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I guess even for me in this moment, reading the definition and hearing the risk factor, I think I have to change my bio on Instagram now, because I don't know that I would consider myself an entrepreneur if that is the definition. Like, right. I said in the beginning, my take on an entrepreneur is more like the creative side. And like you said, Blake, you know, you start doing one thing, working like 10 hours a week, you know, maybe investing $50 a week on thrifted items. Does that make me an entrepreneur? No. At this stage of the game, as I try to grow, and we all grow in different areas, I'm dabbling a little bit in Amazon, and then I sold a little bit on my website, and then I did some consultations on the side, and like, then it kind of grows and goes in different directions. I still don't know how much risk I'm at with that YouTube, that sort of thing. You know what I mean? So if risk is the definition, then I guess that would be, I mean, I guess every time you sell something, you're risking not profiting on it, but you're not risking your life savings.
Right, for that one item.
And then even to go back to
But does buying pallets make you an entrepreneur because you're spending more money?
Well, you're risking.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
No,
I don't know.
That depends on your budget then. So if somebody makes $500,000 a year and they buy pallets, they're not an entrepreneur because somebody else who makes 50 grand a year buys pallets. You know what I mean? Like, does that really make you an entrepreneur? I don't know.
Well, okay. So here's a question. Okay. Here's a question for you gals. Let's think about this a little different. For the platforms out there, Mercari, Poshmark, The RealReal, all of those individual companies, in my eyes, the people who started those companies are entrepreneurs.
Yes.
The people who use the platform, I mean, let's say minus the resellers, let's just say the people who are selling their stuff because they want some credit. Are those entrepreneurs? Absolutely not. Are resellers business owners? Absolutely. Is every single reseller entrepreneur? Absolutely not.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I do. All right,
I changed my mind. Maybe I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm just a go-getter. Can I use the new term? I am a go-getter then.
Yes, yes. I think he just needed to like change his wording, because what he said was incorrect, because it's like, again, no one's knocking that you run a business, run successful businesses. To all the people out there doing reselling, like, I get that. We work hard for that. But is everyone an entrepreneur? No. And another thing, it's like the conversation about famous versus celebrity. Are you a celebrity and famous? Are you famous and a celebrity? No.
Hmm.
Two different things. Jennifer Aniston and a Real Housewife.
Yeah.
Two different ballparks.
Yeah.
Famous versus celebrity, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's a good comparison. That's
an interesting distinguish. Yeah. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged book. I did not read it, disclaimer, but my husband was obsessed with it for quite some time. And it was my interpretation, and I'm sure there are people who actually read the book whose ears will be bleeding at my interpretation of it. But anyways, what I remember of Jay talking about it is it kind of talks about the people who really move the world forward if they were to go away. And all kind of the worker bees who think they're the entrepreneurs and, you know, move the world forward, they're very important, but they are not necessarily the really innovative Steve Jobs type of thinkers that are actually entrepreneurs, let's say, and like moving the world forward. And what would happen if all of those people, like those top tier people, went away? It was like a dystopia, and you know, what would happen in the world, right, if you didn't actually have people taking the risks, putting their lives on the line, their livelihood for the sake, right, of something bigger, you know? Yeah. If you use that definition, I would say you're right. What I read in some of the comments on this guy's Instagram post was that he and Gary Vee do go head to head. When I looked at some of his posts, and again, this was like a 2-minute,
yeah,
this was not a deep dive on my part, but when I looked at his posts, he seemed a lot more flashy than Gary Vee. I think Gary Vee kind of prides himself on being like a bottom feeder and not being somebody who ever has to drive the expensive cars. Like, you know, kind of like, why are you getting all this expensive shit? Is it to impress other people? Yeah. Do you really need it? Does it really, right, make you happy? And that guy kind of seemed to be pretty showy from what I could see. So I can see where their philosophies on entrepreneur and, you know, moving forward wouldn't align necessarily. And I don't know if that was a jab at Gary Vee, who loves to tell people to flip things and got to start
go to yard
somewhere.
Sales and flip things. That's like, exactly, a cool thing.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Yeah.
Learn and I think it definitely get really is. Good at something, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Definitely a hot topic, if you will.
Yeah. So like, I'm trying to think like our listeners, right? Some people might be saying, well, I take risks all the time by investing in certain product that I don't know is going to move on whatever platform, right? Like I'm buying, you know, a quantity of 100 of this specific item to flip on eBay, and I'm investing X amount of dollars. Wouldn't that qualify me as an entrepreneur then, given that definition? And I flip it all the time, and that's all I do, like a replenishable.
Right, right. I think there's no like right or wrong, quote unquote.
Right.
This is, you know, a conversation that will have no period.
Right.
But I think, you know, are you going to lose your house if you buy one sweater to flip on eBay? No.
No.
Are you going to spend $10,000 on a pallet to flip items on eBay or Poshmark or wherever? No, because at that point, I imagine, I don't know one reseller that would just out of the gate spend 10 grand on a couple pallets or a truck, you know? That's not smart. But I think there's risk in business, but then there's also risk in entrepreneurship.
Oh, there's big risk, I believe, in entrepreneurship.
You know?
I know someone personally who labels himself as an entrepreneur and invests in lots of different businesses, and a lot of them have failed, and it's his money, yeah, that he's lost. And to me, like, that's, so going by that definition that we just read and we've been talking about, that's what I think of. I think of my friend who, this is what he does. He invests thousands, right, of dollars into a business, and a lot of them don't make it, and he doesn't ever recoup that money. That's what he does. And then he loses out, right, and you know, he moves.
But does that make him an investor or an entrepreneur?
Yeah. And it's,
you know what I mean? That's why I think this is kind of a fun topic. And we all kind of have a slightly different take on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think the person who calls themselves an entrepreneur has to be the owner or like co-owner. They have to like, mm-hmm, put skin in the game. So I think your friend, although they may call themselves an entrepreneur, definitely an investor. Mm-hmm. You're putting in money into a company. You're an investor. The sharks on Shark Tank, which I think is a good,
that's a good example
topic to talk about. They are now investors, but is entrepreneur something you like keep with you once you've done something? Like, Mark Cuban or Robert Herjavec,
right,
with his software companies. Like, that was entrepreneurship to me, but like, because the business is still going, do we still call him that? I would just call him, you know.
I feel Mr. like they invest in entrepreneurs. I feel like that's the nature of Shark
yes.
Tank.
Yes.
And that's where, again, I keep circling back to the creativity piece, mm-hmm. is you have people coming to them. Yes, the risk is also there. They need the money. They need the investors to get this out to market, whatever it is. But they are the innovators, and they're the ones that are coming up with something super creative. And then the sharks are kind of making it happen for them if they choose to invest in their company.
They also right. own a piece usually of the company too, right? The sharks. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that they're all entrepreneurs on Shark Tank. Like the.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They're investors now, but, and I think if you've invented something or created something from scratch and built a successful business and you are an entrepreneur, I think that stays with you throughout your career, yeah. even if it's not like what your current project is.
Right. Right. You worked hard for that.
I feel like they all mesh together. Like, you start off at one and then you're just progressing towards whatever that next step is for you. Some people stay, I guess, in that entrepreneurial space and keep creating and then keep coming up with something. And then others evolve and grow their business to a point. And then they either sell their shares and they're done with it, or they're still a part of it in some capacity. And now they're moving on to helping others who want that same dream that they had. And then now they're the investors, or, you know, and I feel like it's a, you're always evolving when you're in this space. It's not linear. It could be, I guess, if you want it to stay linear, but I feel like most people evolve in that process.
I mean, I think it is a term that's thrown around quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely.
And whether or not somebody is truly an entrepreneur is debatable, you know? So I think that's why his comment did, you know, ruffle some feathers, because I think there are probably a fair amount of people who do consider themselves entrepreneurs that maybe by definition are not, or by other people's, you know, it this seems to be a bit of a gray area with the term. And what about, I just have a question of like investment in time. So what if you're not investing a ton of money? I mean, I don't know if YouTube would even be an example of
that. I was actually just thinking of YouTube. Would you consider YouTube entrepreneurship then?
I don't know.
I would, it's definitely a business.
Mm-hmm. But back to what Blake said, maybe the person who created YouTube is the entrepreneur of like the, I feel like it's an avenue to make business. And I feel like there's risk of like, you can put a ton of time into it and not get any reward back. If the reward is money, if the reward is just being creative and you don't care about subscribers or AdSense, that sort of thing, it could still be considered a success in the eyes of the person who created the channel. But does that make you an entrepreneur? I wouldn't think so.
I like what you said earlier, Lori, about, you know, if the people in the world who moved the world forward stopped or just like went away. I think that's also a great way to think about it, because to the YouTube point, yeah, the person who created YouTube, or the people, the team, the co-founders, they absolutely helped to move society forward. It created a whole new medium, a new channel, new ways to consume, et cetera, new ways to express. But someone using that thing is using their voice, maybe making money off of it, but.
And that's not to say that somebody with a channel could have something completely prolific, some sort of a message or something then does move the world, you know, and they own space. But I don't think YouTube could be an avenue for them to get their message out, but I don't think just using YouTube makes you an entrepreneur.
Right. Like also there's no risk. It's, again, similar to reselling. You don't have to, even better than reselling, you don't have to put up any money for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, which is great.
Yeah. I mean, and it's really exciting now too, to see people who had opportunity because of YouTube. I mean, I think the lead singer of Journey, who replaced Steve Perry, I want to say he was, he's in from Asia someplace, but he had the voice of Steve Perry, and I'm pretty certain that they found him on YouTube, and now he's part of Journey. I mean, for God's sake.
Wow.
Like, that's just kind of an exciting thing. I mean, that's just like the power of YouTube and where it can take you.
Yeah.
But I feel like that would be a whole different conversation for us to have. But I do think it's really interesting. Is there anybody like that comes to mind for either one of you? Well, Danielle, you just mentioned your friend, mm-hmm. As far as an entrepreneur, somebody who's like the embodiment of.
Yeah, I mean, he owns his own businesses too. So he's created his own businesses from the ground up. Mm-hmm. And then he owns other businesses with friends and he's invested money in it. So he kind of does both.
Sure.
You know, I think of like, so fashion companies and startup companies, you think of like Nasty Gal, for example, she, you know, that's mm-hmm. one. Spanx. What's her name? Sarah.
I was just going to say Sarah Blakely.
Yes. Mm. She is 100% someone that you can look at as an entrepreneur. Steve Jobs.
Change the world, change yes. shapewear as we knew it.
Yeah. I mean, yep. Steve Jobs, yes, but also had a lot of help from others like that built Apple. I can't say that he was like the head person. He was the spokesperson for Apple. He was.
But when you think of iPhone, that changed the world.
Yes, iPhone did. But he, you know, the story of Steve Jobs is so complex. There's just so many facets to him. Yeah. And how, and same with Mark Zuckerberg, like, yes, the idea was there, but then there were a lot of other components.
Diverse team people.
Yes, there was a lot of components that went into Facebook and all of that. But, you know, in the fashion world, I feel like you see a lot of this with the different designers that are out there that kind of started from nothing. They went to design school or didn't go to design school and started creating and yeah. tried to land something. And I think, you know, I think Spanx is just the best example for it. And that's what she's known for, right? She's on all these mm-hmm. different interviews and on TV talking about her journey and her story. And even Sarah from Fashion File, that conversation that we had with her, I mean, yeah. she is an entrepreneur. They're like, she started on eBay. So here's a perfect example. She was inspired by being on eBay and then created this platform of buying product from other people, consignment, paying them out on it. And then her company flipping it and creating a client base that way. So she right. kind of changed that landscape for luxury goods.
I would say she's definitely somebody who made that transition from business yep. owner to entrepreneur by opening her company.
Mm-hmm.
But is that what makes you an entrepreneur is when you cross that line in some way?
Well, and that's actually a great example, Fashion File, because to that original clip, Grant earlier, he was saying, you know, you need to move beyond eBay. You can't just flip sneakers. And that the Fashion File creator did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she played the system and was like, you know what? Instead of having to sell it myself, I'll have people send me their stuff. I'll pay them. I'll flip it.
Yeah.
But like, and I don't have to go out and get
it. Like what we would call like a curated closet too. I mean, she's mm-hmm. only luxury. Yep. She's only handbags yep. and accessories, no clothing. She does shoes.
So smart.
Does some shoes, but very some selective.
But yeah, so it's yep. kind of like taking that curated closet to the next level as well. And, you know, as people get more and more specific in what they do. Yeah, you can see how people can start in one place and then you grow. And some people might go private label. I think of like Erin Oscillady.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You
know, Erin is somebody who she had like her tie dye. Was it called Drip Eye? What was the name? Sundrip. Sundrip.
Drip Eye, whatever. Drip Eye. Really appealing. Yep, Sundrip.
And then
but the logo is an eye.
Yep. Yep.
And now she's doing the quilted things. And she was just featured in
Pioneer Woman.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is like, I think of even her in a more like in an entrepreneurial spirit, you know, within our community, somebody who's like really pushing it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Really good.
Who else in our community would you say, I guess, emulate
an entrepreneur?
Emulates what an entrepreneur could be, according to this definition. Erin is a perfect example. That is.
Yeah. You know what?
I mean, unless you're talking about risk. I'm sorry. Like the risk thing is what's throwing me off.
Yeah.
I don't like, there are some people I know that we know that absolutely call themselves an entrepreneur. And I don't doubt how hard they work for their business or businesses, but I'm like, I don't know that that's the case. But like, also, it's not for me to decide. Like, if you want to call yourself an entrepreneur, honey, you mm-hmm. do you, you know? Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I would, that's what we, I was saying earlier, Blake, is like, you know, there are people, I think it may be just in the eyes of who's claiming that they are an entrepreneur. Like somebody may think they are, yeah. and they're going to live their life that way. And maybe that's like a guiding force that just keeps yeah. them pushing and keeps them motivated and gives them confidence to think that they're an entrepreneur. And that just kind of keeps things going and, you know, no harm, no foul. No one's going to.
Yeah. No one's going to come down on you and be like, no, you're not an entrepreneur. Right. You know, no one's going to say
right,
that.
Right. Right.
But I mean, we
no
definitely
have slide into your DMs.
Yeah. What, Blake?
I said, no one's going to slide into your DMs and be like, Laura, you better change that title.
You're not an entrepreneur. Delete it right now.
You guys laugh. I'm on Instagram. I like Stop literally it. When you were chatting. My categories are artist, musician, blogger, clothing brand. I'm not a brand. Community, digital creator, education, entrepreneur, health and beauty, editor, writer, personal blog. Product service. Maybe I'd be product service. I don't know.
No, I would call you a digital creator.
Yeah. You're a digital creator that sells clothes online.
That sells clothes online.
I think of you as a digital creator with your note cards, Blake. Like you were
But digital creator is beyond just creating product though. You create videos, which is also a digital product. You're a digital creator. You create Canva images.
That's not tangible.
Well, digital creator is also for someone who creates content, like video mm-hmm. content. And like your YouTube channel, you're literally a YouTube creator.
I could be a video creator, but then that's kind of like
that's videographer
pigeonholing me. That kind of disregards the reselling part, right?
Yes. And Shopping you know what though?
Gets rid of my video creation. So that's why I need to talk to Instagram. And I think that's why I ended up.
I want Go-Getter on there. Can we put in a request to have Go-Getter put on there? Go-Getter.
Yes.
My son just texted me, Ohio State lost to Oregon. Like Ohio State and Penn State, they're such rivals. Yeah. Like nothing makes him happier.
Oh my God, I love hockey.
Blake. I love you, Blake.
Y'all, listeners, I know it's football. I know it's football. I just don't like sports like that, so I always make fun of it.
That's so funny. Great. All right, so I think that's why I defaulted to entrepreneur.
Well, I think Instagram uses like an all-encompassing definition maybe of entrepreneur, of like you do your own thing and have your own business and you have a small business, or you know, you I don't know, risked your life savings and invested in something and now you're growing it. Like, I think that's how they look at
entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I know. But I think this is because I have a business profile. You have to pick something.
I think mine's entrepreneur too, because there's nothing else to choose.
I mean, it's like.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best. It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
It's like when you fill out those forms for whatever. You're at a doctor's office, like choose your occupation. And it's like, my job has never been in that list. I'm always other.
Same. My job is not on any list either. Doesn't exist.
Like, what would you consider yourself these days?
Me? I would consider myself an employee because I have my full-time job. Mm-hmm. And then someone who has a lucrative, I want to choose my language. I want to say hobby, but a hobby is something that is not intended to make income.
Right.
So I would say, I'm going to strip it back. I am a full-time employee, but also a part-time reseller. Like,
okay,
it is what it is.
I feel like you are heading into the influencer space.
I was just going to bring up that term, influencer, because we haven't talked about it yet.
Right.
Yeah, we haven't talked about it.
Is Rafi sponsoring you?
No, but
After meaning to chat with you, I'm like,
I mean, last time you were on here, you had already moved and we had no idea. So you keep hiding things from us. So you need to like spill the juice here, okay?
I love Rothy's, okay? And the best way, and this is for anyone out there, the best way to befriend a brand, company, campaign, whatever on Instagram is to talk about them. But like, don't talk about, like, I'm just gonna use this because it's right next to me. I'm dog sitting. This is Purina One Food Brand. This, like me just posting an Instagram story or a post about dog food, no. That's not gonna work. So, you know, you wanna make sure it's authentic. You wanna make sure that you use the product. Like I have offers, but like, I don't wanna do them because one, a perfect example, there was a brand, I won't say what, but they were like, we wanna have you test out the skincare because they did a previous skincare thing. And it was only based towards people with acne. And I was like, no offense. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
No offense, my skin is flawless.
I don't have pimples, so.
Nothing.
No, you have the most beautiful skin.
Hyaluronic acid, okay? Eva Longoria. But I was like, thank you so much. I'm going to have to pass my, thankfully my skin is great. And she's like, no worries. Like, I get it. So yeah, it's fun. But with Rothy's in particular, I just post about them all the time. A lot more now because I have 4 pairs of shoes because they finally came out with men's and I shopped the archive sale. So I finally have pieces to incorporate into my life to talk about it. And I will say I'm in a special group. I don't want to say what, because I don't know how public this is, but I'm in a special group that's Rothy's exclusive. Mm-hmm. And
you can leave it at that. You can just put that right down on the table.
Love it. And leave it right there.
Yes.
Well, I just want to commend you on your marketing. Your innate marketing skills are wonderful.
Thank you. It's I will say I go through dips and valleys
and valleys.
Peaks and valleys. Highs and lows.
Yes.
Of social media. We've probably all talked about this before. It's such a catch 22. It's like you need to do it. Present day, I think you need to want to do it.
Yes.
And like people can really tell if you don't want to do it. So instead of putting crap out there, I just don't post if I'm not feeling it, or if I don't have anything to talk about, which has happened a lot more recently. And it's only because I'm living my life. And I was talking with a friend about this. She was like, I haven't been on Facebook in like a month. I said, my Instagram is like scattered because I'm living, I'm traveling, I'm doing all these things. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I didn't document it all, but guess what? I lived it. And that should be good enough.
Yeah. That is good enough.
I agree. I feel this more and more like as this year has gone on, because my focus has been in so many different places, whether it was with family and, you know, then with moving and everything and stuff with work and possible promotions and all, you know, all this other stuff that goes on, where it's like, I don't really need social media. I have it because I like to engage with people and it's fun. And, you know, if opportunities come up, great. And it's a great way to promote other things that I'm doing. But if I don't post, I don't post. I really don't care. Well, maybe like a year and a half ago, it would have been like, oh my God, I need to post something because how else am I going to grow in this space? No one knows who I am, right?
Okay, wait. Okay. Do you both feel too that there has been a shift in social media since things have started to open up? Like people needed social media last year because they could not go anywhere. But now they're like, I gotta go live my life. I have to get out of the house. Leave me alone. I gotta go enjoy my vacation.
I literally shut off my phone now sometimes throughout the day because I'm like, I don't even care. Like if I'm surrounded by the people that I need to be surrounded by and I don't need to worry about like checking my phone, it's off or it's on airplane mode. And I'm like, tomorrow is my mom's birthday. So we're going to be together all day long. We're going to Boston during the day. Then all of us are going out to dinner tomorrow night. And my phone is not going to be I'm just not going to access it because I don't need it. And if anything, with the pandemic, I felt like you're constantly on it to stay engaged with people. You're constantly like, need to see what's happening. Need to see what's happening. What's this person doing? Are you okay? You know, and just having that interaction through text or video instead of the physical interaction was so important, where I think a lot of people got burnt out by it and they're kind of like, done, all set.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with you on that one, Blake. Yeah, I think so. And I also think just within our reselling community, I feel like we really hit rock bottom recently with cancel culture and just absolute people. It was like a sad month for us in the community, in my opinion. And I feel like after all the negativity and stuff, there's like a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth for the community in general, as far as like that sort of stuff goes. And I think that people are kind of craving some positivity right now, and social media is not always the place where you find it. So to your point, I think it's a good time, and it's just a beautiful time of year. Mm-hmm. And it's people, yeah, you know, back to the workplace, back outside. So I feel like it was a little bit of a perfect storm that has kind of pushed a lot of people in that direction. Obviously I'm just speaking for myself, but yeah, it's never a bad time. It's never a bad idea to take a break from it all.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you see this with like larger content creators on YouTube when they have a lot of things going on in their life and they're like regular YouTube uploading type of accounts. Like they're uploading three times a week, four times a week. You know, you're talking like the bloggers, the beauty gurus, all of that. Or even YouTube gurus. And then all of a sudden they go radio silent for like a month or two. And they're like, hey, sorry, had to go be a real human and not do this for a while.
And I think it's really the pressure we put on ourselves. Yeah. And I know myself, I used to be more strict about like my upload days. And then I was like, nobody really cares. No one cares but you. You know what I mean? I don't mean that in a mean way, but just like, it doesn't matter if it gets posted on Thursday or Friday or Saturday, it doesn't matter. You know, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm probably 100% guilty of going more in that direction. Like, I think as my YouTube channel has grown, I care more about analytics than I ever did before. I find myself, I had a really great conversation with a good friend of mine who is a big eBay person. She literally scheduled a call with me to talk to me about like, what is my hesitation? Like, why are you not doing this? And she's like, what's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? And I'm like, I usually check my YouTube, like to see like what I got for comments and whatever. And part of me is like, if there's like any negativity sometimes, which it's very rare, but like sometimes I just want to get ahead of that. And then I kind of went through things because she was saying how she checks her eBay first thing in the morning. She sees if there were any offers or whatever. And then she's like, well, that's interesting. Like you didn't mention like money making, like reselling stuff until like third or fourth on your list. She's like, that's interesting to me. And she's like, I think you're driven by like more like social push than you are by money and this and that. And I'm like, I think you're probably right about that, you know, but it is interesting. Like, what do you check first thing in the morning? What is the first thing that you look at? Is it Instagram? Is it, you know, spend time with your dog or whatever? I'm just, you know, it was an interesting question that she asked me.
Well, let's answer it. I think Blake and I should answer that too.
Sure.
So Blake, what do you check first thing in the morning?
What do I check? Well, I have to think about it because before, the opposite of Lori, I used to check my YouTube in particular, in addition to like Posh or whatever, first thing. But then I started to get upset or like down. And I was like, I can't let my life be controlled by numbers like this because one, this isn't my full-time work either. So I was like, no. I want this thing to be an accessory, a companion to the main gig going on in my life. And with YouTube in particular, they flash those analytics the second you open YouTube Studio. And that really kills me because it'll be green or red or gray. Green is great. Gray stinks, but red is terrible. And if you wake up to a video, it's like, you can only control so much. And I was like, if people don't watch because of whatever reason, it is what it is. And you got to move on. So I try to avoid looking at stuff that will get me upset. So I also do not look at my work email. Not that things will be bad, but just, I don't want to start my day on a tone that is negative. And I'm also trying to not look at anything until I am at work, because your brain needs time to like wake up. Mm-hmm. And someone recently, I think it was a documentary about like mental health, which by the way, this is World Suicide Prevention Week. So make sure you take care of your health. If you're in crisis, contact the crisis centers, okay?
Thank you.
Available 24/7 nationwide. They were basically saying, you need to wake up and your brain needs to turn on and you need to set your own tone for the day. The second you open your phone, you're letting something else direct your day. Mm. And I was like, wait, what? And then I thought about it. I was like, yeah, you're right. I open, look at my email, something's not nice. And then I'm pissed. And that ruins my, it changes the entire course of my day, which can't happen. So I make it sound dramatic, but it's real. Like if you look at something and it's positive or negative, you are allowing something else to come into your life to direct what's going to happen next.
And I think it's that validation or lack of validation that either puts you in a good space or a bad space sometimes by looking at your phone for that validation.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, did I get the views? Did I get the money? Did I, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
What about you, Daniela?
Last year at this time, I'd be checking my work email first thing I woke up in the morning and last thing I did when I went to bed because of just the craziness that ensued where I work, right? And it's still something that's happening on a daily basis, but I have very strict boundaries on that now, where last year was really, really hard for me to have those boundaries because what was happening in the world, right? And where I work and the roles that I have. So I have a very strict rule as of January of this year is I do not check my work email from the second I walk in the door, the second I wake up. If I am home, I am not checking it at all. I don't look at it. I don't care. I'm not there. I don't care. Unless it was 911, we need you right now, they'll call me. They'll just call me right. And I'll deal with it then. So mm-hmm. I don't do that. That's something I used to do. What I do now is when I wake up, shut my alarm off because my phone is my alarm. And I actually, I used to do this back in the day when I was a competitive powerlifter, but I started having this habit again, is I go to bed in my leggings again so that I wake up, I put my earbuds in, which are right near my phone. And I put my like calming, relaxing music on and I get ready to go for a walk in the morning. So that's my first thing that I do in the morning is put on my music to kind of like meditate, get myself in a good
state. Wake you up.
Yep. And then I drink my glass of water with lemon and I go for my walk. And like, that's my thing now. But it's an evolution to get there though. Like I had to make the commitment to get there because I did whatever what you just said. Check YouTube, check Poshmark. Do I still do that sometimes? Yeah, you're human. You're going to do these things. Like there's no way around it. You know, especially if something's doing really well or you posted something that you're so excited about, you want to keep checking and making, you know, and seeing if you're getting that traction that you think you're going to get. But I think you have to make that conscious effort and create that habit, which can take a little bit, right, to get up, do the things that you need to do to make yourself feel good. So maybe it's stretching. Maybe it is just meditating. Maybe it's just being outside and having a cup of coffee, whatever it is. I'm trying to detach myself from the electronic gratification that you get from things and kind of be more present where I am right now and just like around the people that I want to be around and with nature. And like, it sounds so hippie of me, but like, that's just where I want to be right now. And it changes. It changes all the time. It depends what's going on in your life and what you're working on. And
100%.
It evolves. So right now I'm in this space where like, I just want to be zen all the time. 6 months from now, I may be glued to my phone first thing I wake up because of whatever.
When I wake up in the middle of the night,
let's hope you are.
Snapchat maps and see where my kids are if they need it.
Okay, well, that's different though.
No, I really do. Like I woke up to pee at like 3 a.m. and I'm like, oh my gosh, did Anthony get home from the bars? Let me look on Snapchat. I'm like, yes, 10 minutes ago. Like it's just like, I do that a lot now with Angie back at school and Rocco slept out last night. I literally go through and check Snap maps.
But that's because you're a mommy and that's important to you, right?
Yeah. So my mom still checks like on that. Me.
Same.
I said my mom still checks on me and I live with her.
Same. I'm 5 minutes away and it's like 8:00 a.m. Are you up and ready for work yet? Did you already get to work? Like all the time.
Yeah. That's so
doesn't matter how old you get.
Sometimes when you're back home in the space, it makes it worse because then they know, like, I know it's a little out of sight, out of mind. Like sometimes when they're not home, I'm not like worried about them. But like, if they're here and they go out, I'm like, should I stay up? And they'll say to me, Mom, I'm away at college. You don't wait up for me then. I'm like, yes, but I don't know where you are when you're coming home at college. But now I sometimes right. do because I stalk them occasionally.
Yeah.
I read a book and they, I don't remember what book it was, but they were talking about like looking at your phone and they compared it almost to like a, they called it a digital hit. Like, you know, taking a, mm-hmm. you know, like taking a drag off your cigarette or whatever, but they're like, I took a hit, oh. like I got a digital hit. And then that was kind of it. Like they'd open their phone, they'd check whatever they checked and then they would move on. It's almost like a nervous habit, like cigarette smoking or whatever, you know, that's
yeah.
what they
yeah.
compared it to. And I'm like, that's scary accurate.
Yep, it is.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the whole entrepreneurial topic. Do you think because we live in such a digital world and this term gets tossed around so much, is that, you know, people might get hung up on that term and feel like they can go in that direction and this is something that they like, I want to pursue X because I was inspired by whoever on social media and I follow all these content, like all these content creators, and this is what they're doing and this is the path that I want to follow. Do you think we've created this culture, I guess it's a man-made culture where everyone is striving to be the entrepreneur? And kind of, I don't know. I don't want
to
say.
I think it's more people are striving to be influencers more than entrepreneurs. Mm. My own personal opinion.
Using the term entrepreneur, but not understanding maybe what the real definition of it is.
I mean, I didn't understand what the real yeah. definition Same. Was until an hour ago. So.
Until Blake, you know, schooled me on it. So.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
You know what I mean? I think a lot
there
of
were
yeah, go in that direction. What are your thoughts, Blake?
Like
you can be honest, like that's
no, I'm having moments. I don't know, ever since I've been home, I will start to think about it and then the thought like is gone from my mind. So I need you to re-ask the question. The culture. There we go.
Yeah.
Culture.
Yeah, the culture that we're creating on digital
it,
media.
It
right?
influences like I don't know, the next
entrepreneurial yes. mindset
in general.
Right.
It does. Like there's people that are like, oh, I want to be the next Gary V. Okay, well, Gary V would probably tell you be the next you. So like you clearly don't listen to him enough.
Right.
I'm a straight
talker. This is true.
So it's just like, you know, I think ultimately people get too hung up on the labels. I'm sure all of us have done it, do it. And that's, you know, it is what it is. We're trying to, you know, move forward and have labels, but use them as a way to unify viewpoints for the world, right? And just, yes, we have all these labels, but one day there's going to be just a, like one day, it'll just be like, oh my gosh, hi, Lori. Lori's over there, a living, beautiful human. You know, there's Daniela, another beautiful human living. But, you know, and right now it's Lori is a mom who is this, mm-hmm. this, she does this. And it's like, why do we have to like have a resume,
yeah.
a verbal introduction? Mm-hmm. Like, and that to your point, Daniela, is like, that's happening. There is this culture to one up or be the next. And it's like, don't be the next, be the best you. Mm-hmm. Whether it's creating a product and by default down the line, you become labeled as an entrepreneur or you know, you're a mom who wants to have a baby and you know you go about doing that, you know, and then you're a mom. Okay, great. Well, you know, keep it moving.
I think labels have become a big part of our culture because that's how we identify ourselves on the internet is through labels.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
I have to let the dog out. Sorry.
In my previous life, I was a special ed teacher, and in the state of Massachusetts, we were not allowed to use labels for the separate classrooms. Like, oh, that's right. a class for autistic kids or children with autism is how you're supposed to say it. But so it was like 502.1, 502.2. Like, so it gave a number mm-hmm. instead of a label. But to me, it ended up just being a different type of label. So 502 point whatever,
right.
you know, the higher the number, the more severe help that the student needed. Right. And then, so that was my education. I graduated from college in 95, moved to San Francisco, and they're like, okay, Lori, we're hiring you for the SBD class. I'm like, well, what does SBD mean? They're like, severely behavior disordered. Right. Like, really? Like, they were all about the labels in California. Everything was a label by the definition of like what that child was struggling with or whatever. And so it was a whole different way of thinking for me when I went to California, because in Massachusetts, we were trained to not use labels. And then even though it was a label, it was just a different type of label. And then I went to California and I had an SBD class, and that was very interesting. And all I would say is sometimes when you label somebody, they live up to the label. You know what I mean? So if you're not calling, if you look at a child and you're like, well, you have severe behavior disorder. Like, they're like, watch me, you know? But if you kind of look at them in a different light or don't label them in that space, I feel like they rise, you know, they can, sometimes the behavior would be much better if you didn't treat them as their label was. And I think that goes for everything.
And I think labels not only hold a stigma, right? But they also, I guess, like you just said, people live up to that label. Like, oh, you want to label me as X? Cool. I'm going to take it to the next level and you're going to really see what this label means, kind of thing. And that can be positive or it can be negative. It can really go in either direction.
Yeah.
I don't like labels. Not my thing.
Agreed. I understand them. And I think like we're going into like too many labels. Like, can that be a thing? It's just like, there's just so much. How is it expected that everyone remembers all of them?
And the definitions.
For all different categories. Mm-hmm. Right, correct.
Which I think is how this whole entrepreneurial topic came up, right? So everyone looks and thinks of it in a different way. You can tell by the comments in this video that everyone has different opinions on what entrepreneur means. And at what point, I don't know. I don't know if there's a point where labels start blending in together, which I feel like is what's happening right now. You've got influencer, you've got blogger, you've got all these different things, and now it's all meshing in as one thing. And you have to distinguish what's what, or you don't distinguish and you just go with it. I guess it depends on who you are as a person.
I say my two cents is just stay in your lane and do what makes you happy and don't worry so much about the labels. Like, go in the direction that you feel your business or life is taking you, and work hard at whatever it is that is motivating you. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, don't worry about the labels. I mean, I think this was a really interesting discussion. I do. And more to talk about, you know, what most of us do as resellers and what we would consider ourselves. We've even had the conversation on here about like the full-time reseller versus the part-time reseller and why that is such a thing.
That's a big label in our community.
And people talk about, and I struggle with it quite a bit, because now that I spend a lot of time creating content for YouTube, I don't even know that I consider myself a full-time reseller. I am not reselling for 40 hours a week. I'm probably reselling for about 20 hours a week and doing YouTube 20 hours a week. And so like, to me, I'm like, do I even call myself a full-time reseller anymore? Because my thing is, I don't ever want someone to look at whatever it is about me or my business on YouTube, and I'm calling myself a full-time reseller, and then I give my numbers at the end of the month, and they're like, well, you can't live on that full-time, because I'm not sharing YouTube numbers, I'm not sharing affiliate numbers or whatever. And I think that's the slippery slope with labels, is like, people have a certain expectation when you give a label, and then maybe your definition is different. So I think within our community, there's a lot of labels as well.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't like saying part-time, full-time. I don't like that. I guess by definition, I'm a part-time reseller, but I sell clothes for fun. I make money doing it, and I like shopping. So that's why I do it. And really, I'm Daniela. I'm Italian. I'm loud. I like food, and I like interacting with people. The end. That's me. Like, that's just who I am. Oh, and I'm a state worker, but who cares about that? Like, that's just another part of my life.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. To eat, and I'm loud, so
I don't know. I mean, I think we've even created this whole podcast off of like, I'm full-time, you're part-time. Mm-hmm. I'm a mom and you're younger, and like the whole there the whole dynamic of like, who relates to you, who relates to mm-hmm. me. And that's kind of what makes it fun. And that's mm-hmm. what makes some of our conversations engaging and whatnot. So sometimes labels, you know, they
can be helpful. They can definitely be helpful, especially when it comes to growing a business or anything, right? You want to label yourself as whatever it is to gain that audience. But then I think you evolve from that label and it turns into something else.
Don't put me in a box, baby.
Don't put me in a box.
Yeah. Don't put baby in a box.
All right. So Blake, what do you have going on today after we say goodbye on this beautiful Saturday afternoon?
So nice.
So I feel like it's really appropriate to say that I'm going to go thrifting.
Yay.
Which for me these days, I save really for the weekend because that's when I have time to do it. The stores here close. I'm not going to say super early. I know there's people in. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
I hear the barking dog. What is happening?
I'm dog sitting. Hold on just a second. There
you go. You don't have to mute. Blake just muted himself.
Yes. Yeah. So what are you doing, Lori, since Blake is attending to the dog?
You know, I was going to try to get to UPS and get this Amazon order, but I don't think it's going to happen because UPS closes at 5 and it's 4:35. So I don't think that's happening. And I wanted to catch the end of the Penn State game, but I don't think we're getting it. I don't think we have whatever channel you need, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. We may just end up at the beer garden, which tends to be where we...
Listen, the beer garden seems to be your jam.
Home away from home. Oh,
where were you? Where were you last night, Lori?
At the beer garden.
Beer garden.
Oh, it looks good. I was like, I want to join.
It's so good.
I know.
It is literally like 2 miles from my house. And there's this restaurant. They have a food truck and it's called Tacos Gatos. So the taco cats. And they have like just like the greatest tacos. And then it's a brewery, Medusa Brewery. And they have a drink called Fizzy Cat. I don't know what's with the cats because they're two separate companies.
Interesting.
The Taco Gatos is like the food truck that goes there, but they make their own beer and then they have a seltzer and it's called Fizzy Cat. And I love Fizzy Cat. They have a blood orange Fizzy Cat.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
That's really fun. So yeah.
Well, Fizzy Cat. I like that name.
Isn't that a fun name? It's very
catchy. Good.
What'd you do last night? Oh, just drank my little inner Fizzy Cat.
Had a Fizzy Cat with my tacos.
Fizzy cat.
There we go. Love it.
It's a fizzy cat.
What are they feeding you? Please tell me there are friends people here who know what I'm singing.
I am not a friends person. Oh my God, don't hate me.
Delete, cancel. Like,
bye, you can leave the chat now. See ya.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, Blake, thank you so much for bringing this fun topic to us. This was a great discussion. Always nice to see your face and catch up with you. How's work going? Regular work.
Thank you. It's been great to be on the pod and chat with you gals. Work has been great. We've actually been very busy. I actually have a photo video shoot to go to on both Monday and Tuesday.
Ooh, fun.
So that's cool.
That's super cool.
Nothing public facing. It's, you know, just for customer use, but it's cool. It's cool things.
That's still cool. So how exciting. Is New York life treating you?
You know what? I gotta say, it is weird to like be content. I don't think I've been content before, and I'm content, which is weird to say. But it's been great, and I love being home with my mom and my aunt and my grandma. I've never had this much time with them as an adult. You know, I've always been working across the country or away, 4 hours away.
You seem so happy.
Yeah. And I've been working on myself. I go to the gym 3 times a day. I work with a personal trainer three times a week.
3 times a week is what he meant, but he said day. I got it. Don't worry.
Sorry. Like, sorry. Three times a week. If it was 3 times a day, I better be on TV filming The Biggest Loser. Okay.
You'd be ripped if you were going 3 times a day.
Oh my That's God, wonderful. I know. I'm actually not big enough. Like there's certain requirements. I'm not big enough. I've looked. But yeah, it's been good. It's been really nice to be home.
Ooh. Oh, great. And how's your podcast going? You want to talk a little bit about at me?
Sure, sure. So my mom and I have a podcast called Stop Yelling at Me, the podcast. And it is just my mom and myself talking about everything that happens in our lives or a major topic that happens in the news or something like that. And people were very receptive. It's very much, I often want to say, come bring a seat to the table, but I know that's kind of your guys' thing, but
that's the vibe you're going right. for.
Yeah. Yeah. Like people feel, I mean, I re-listen to the episodes and I'm like, I want to talk with myself and my mom while I'm listening. Mm-hmm. So it's very like, you know, come join the conversation, be a part of it, talk to us through your car, you know, kind of thing. We are recording episodes for season two, and the release date for season two is going to be either the end of September or early October. So definitely stay tuned.
Do you have like a little teaser for us? Like, do you have a topic for your first episode? Have you recorded yet?
Well, yes, I can tell you the title of it.
Okay, let's hear it.
You've heard it here first, it's friends.
Yes, you heard it here. Exclusive first episode, season two. It's going to be called Woodchucks, Raccoons, and Critters. Oh my!
And oh my!
Let's just say someone got bit over the summer, and that was not a pleasant experience. Oh, so stay tuned for more.
That'll be fun, and, Blake. I like that. Oh man!
Oh boy! That's a good title.
Woodchucks, Raccoons, and Critters. Oh my!
Oh yeah. My!
Y'all. Y'all, you're not ready for
wild
it.
Story.
Not in Los Angeles anymore, honey.
Yeah.
Sure not. Sure not.
All right, folks. Well, thank you so much for joining us on another episode of Thrifter's Villa. We appreciate you all tuning in as always. Thank you so much, Blake, for joining us.
Thank you, Blake.
Thanks for having me.
You can come
Don't
back.
Don't forget, everyone. Anytime. Thank you. Thank you. Don't forget, listeners. You need to subscribe to Thrifter's Villa podcast. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you consume your podcast. Subscribe and consider leaving a review. The reviews really help and boost the podcast and the algorithm. So make sure you do that. Okay. As a friend of the pod, boost the pod for them. Okay?
You can come back anytime and give us a little plug.
I know. I mean, can you just do this on the reg for us? Like, hey guys,
sure.
Like we can just record a little ad of Blake. Coming in the middle of the podcast. Yes.
Yeah.
Gonna do it.
We can do it. I can put on my presenter voice.
Yeah. All right. Do it one more time. One more time. Presenter voice.
One more time.
Yep.
Thank you so much for listening to Thrifter's Villa. If you wouldn't mind, subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts and continue to stream and tell your friends all about Thrifter's Villa, available wherever podcasts are produced.
Yes. A good voice.
Yes.
All right, everybody. On that note, we can't top that.
No, thank we can't.
Everybud. Thanks, everybud.
Hey, everbud.
Thanks, everbud.
See you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. This is just a reminder that Thrifter's Villa's Patreon is officially live. You can find us on patreon.com/thriftersvilla. It is just $5 a month where we're going to offer you bonus content, extra episodes, a free downloadable a month, and live events. So make sure to check us out there, and we will see you next week.